Good morning, everybody. Welcome to your Wednesday, February 14th, Valentine's Day coffee table show. I am Natalie, and I am here today with Kristen Vogel. She is a physician's assistant at our Norton Community Hospital. She is here at my request today to talk to us about our hearts, because not only is it Valentine's Day today, but February is Heart Month. And so I'm going to have you pull that a little bit closer to you, so we can listen to you talk. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning.
It's so great to have you here. I've been dying to meet you. I've heard so many great things about you that I've just been dying to meet you, so I get this chance to do that. And I also get a chance to get some information that, you know, I'm 60. That information is important to me, especially right now.
Yes, so, it is.
I'm very much looking forward to getting some great information for you from you. But first, how long have you been working for at the Norton County Hospital?
16 years.
16 years. And have you been a physician's assistant the whole time?
Yes, I have.
Wow. Congratulations. That's a great career and a great longevity to be at one place. Because a lot of, I think, physician's assistants and physicians, they tend to move around a lot sometimes. But you've been here a long time. That's great for our community, too, because everybody knows you.
Yeah. I was born and raised in Phillipsburg, and Rich Miller was the CEO at the time, and I completed my internship in Norton, and they asked me to come on, and I really enjoyed the staff, the facility, the community, and so I came on and been here 16 years now.
Well, we're glad to have you here.
Thank you.
And I'm glad to have you here today, because we are going to talk about our heart health. So, you know, people kind of sometimes, I think, take it for granted. They think, well, mom and dad didn't have a heart attack, so I'm fine. Or it doesn't run in my family. Or, you know, I'm always super healthy, so I don't have to worry about it. But everybody has to worry about their heart health.
Absolutely.
Right? It's about diet. It's about exercise, and we're going to talk about all of that today. Kristen's going to give us some tips on some diet ideas, some exercise, and also let us, and our cholesterol.
Yes.
She's going to explain that to us a little bit. And also let us know that also with our heart health, that can also have things to do with strokes.
Absolutely.
And it all kind of connects together. So we're going to talk about that and give some great information so everybody can stay healthy.
Sounds great.
Awesome. All right. So first things first, let's talk about cholesterol.
Okay.
Because that is one thing that always confuses me. There's good cholesterol, bad cholesterol. You know, people, I've been told you should never have anything but fats in it. But then I was told, well, you know, you can have a little bit of fat. It's okay. So I hope you're going to clear some things up for me.
I hope so, too.
All right.
Well, cholesterol is a fat-like substance that the body needs for good health, but only in the right amounts. Cholesterol is needed because it makes cell walls and tissues, hormones, vitamin D, and bile acid. So cholesterol is not all bad. It just has to be proportioned correctly. Oftentimes, you get a lipid panel done for your labs, and you're just told your cholesterol, good, bad, and I thought we'd explain a little bit of that today. The total cholesterol in your lipid panel measures the total amount of cholesterol in the body. So that's your good cholesterol and your bad cholesterol. There's something called LDL. I refer to it as the loser cholesterol because it's the bad cholesterol, and that helps me remember.
That's a good hit.
So it's the main source of cholesterol that builds up and blocks the arteries. That's why it's the loser. Then you have your HDL, which I think of as hero. It's the good cholesterol, and it helps remove that cholesterol from the arteries. So, of course, you always want your HDL to be higher so it can remove that bad cholesterol from the arteries. You often see triglycerides on that lipid panel as well. And triglycerides is another type of fat that causes hardening of the arteries.
So what can you do to increase your HDL?
Different things for increasing the HDL. I made notes today. So
I always want to go to the good stuff first. We'll talk about how you get rid of the bad stuff.
Let me see.
Unless you want to do it the other way, so if your notes are that way.
We are good.
Okay.
I think it's in my... I get nervous, and so then I have to make notes so I don't say something stupid.
You and me both.
So we talked, you had mentioned about healthy fats, and how to raise HDL is eating healthy fats, which would be your olive oil, your coconut oil, fatty fish, and avoiding trans fats. Getting regular exercise helps increase that HDL. If you smoke, quit. Eating antioxidant-rich foods. So you have to... I don't know what that is initially.
You're read, like, the labels.
Okay, what are antioxidant-rich foods? But examples are red apples, cranberries, artichokes, strawberries, red kidney beans, and pecans, or pecans, I guess, whichever way you'd want to say
Depends where you're from.
Yes. And those help build your HDL.
And you know something else? So we talk about diet and stuff. So I was doing some research this morning, and there's something else that you can eat that's kind of good for you. It's yummy. It's dark chocolate.
Yes.
Dark chocolate. So you can spoil yourself a little bit. They said about an ounce a day is about, you know, you don't want to go overboard just because it's good, because everything's bad if you do too much, right?
Correct.
But dark chocolate is also something else that you can eat that tastes good and is good for you.
Yes, it is.
That's I was trying to find how I could cheat, and it came up with dark chocolate. So.
That's a great addition.
And then, so you do all this stuff, you know, cut out, if you can, as much of the trans fat. So that would be like cooking oils.
Correct.
Butter, straight butters and stuff like that, right?
You're right. You want to reduce your trans fat and saturated fat. And these are found in your pastries, your fried foods, and your fatty meats and butter.
But, you know, Kristen's not saying you just can never have that stuff.
Absolutely. Everything in moderation.
Right. And then, you know, if you don't go overboard and you take it easy. Now, if you do have problems, you do want to be a little bit more cautious and pay attention. But, you know, everything in moderation, right?
Correct.
Right. And so, what kind of test do you do? Is it just a blood test for the cholesterol?
For the cholesterol, it is just a blood test. We call it a fasting blood test. So we wouldn't want you to eat anything after midnight. You can always take sips of water with all of your medications, and then you would have that drawn. And that's going to be the best test for us to determine what your cholesterol, LDL, HDL, and triglycerides are.
And is that the only way you know? Are there any symptoms that you might be able to feel or know? Or is it just purely you find out when you go and get your blood taken?
Oftentimes, you only find out when you get your blood taken.
That's one of those things that doesn't really give you a bunch of signs, right?
Right. It just creeps on
it's
you.
It's just inside of you.
Yes.
You know, waiting to let you know. So, that's one of my big points of this whole thing is see your doctor. Regularly.
Correct.
Even when you're well, go get your physicals, get your blood tests, and see your doctor, because like Kristen just said, you don't know if you have high blood pressure or cholesterol until you go and get your blood test.
Correct. Annual wellness exams are so important because we can check that blood pressure, get those labs updated, and it lets us know that we can intervene before it's already, you know, caused problems for you.
And just because you had a good test last year doesn't mean it's always going to be a good test, right?
Correct. Life changes.
So at least every year have your physical, your blood test and everything done, right?
Absolutely.
I would think so. So say we're getting our cholesterol under control. Is there any other ways that we can get our heart health under control ourselves just at home?
Yes.
I mean, like, what can we eat? What kind of foods? We talked a little bit about that. But
yes. Eating more food-soluble fiber. So that's going to be your peas, apples, oranges, pears, berries, broccoli, oatmeal, lima beans, chickpeas. You want to increase your monounsaturated fats. And how you do that is eat almonds, avocados, add olive oil. We talked again about reducing the trans fats and saturated fats, but also smarter food preparation. So instead of frying, try boiling. You can do grilling, roasting, poaching, or those air fryers.
I was saying nowadays, air fryer. That's
yes,
what everybody does.
That's huge, and it helps. You want to avoid breading the meats if you can, because that soaks up so much fat, and then that's extra fat that you get. So, you know, if you really need that, you know, chicken fried steak or something like that, you want to try to pat off as much fat or the oil as much as you can.
You know, I never thought about that, how much it soaks up the fat. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a good thing, because I always think, well, if I pat it dry, it'll be fine, but it's already soaked it in there.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
That crispiness to it.
Yeah, which is good, but...
good tasting, but not always what's best for you.
Right.
We'd also, we kind of mentioned about visiting your physician annually to make sure everything's looking good, that we can check those labs, check your blood pressure and everything. There's also other screening tests that the public can do without needing your provider. And those services are offered at the Norton County Hospital. One is called your peripheral arterial disease screen. And so if you have a elevated cholesterol, bad cholesterol, it can cause that fatty buildup in the arteries, so then you have narrowing of those vessels, so you're not getting adequate blood flow to your legs, and that's what they call peripheral vascular disease. And that's why you can find like sores to your feet. You may also have pain into the legs with walking, because you're using those muscles and they're not getting enough blood flow, and so they're going to cramp, they're going to hurt. And that's a screening test that they do offer at the hospital. Its risk factors include age, smoking, high blood pressure, diabetes, and an elevated cholesterol. And you do not have to have a referral. It's something you can call and get on your own. Also, with the buildup of plaque in your arteries, it can narrow the carotid arteries, and that's the blood flow to the brain. And so you can do a carotid screening test for that, and that's also available with us. And it gives you kind of an idea, you know, you don't get a lot of warning signs for that carotid buildup there. And so insurance, great to have, but it isn't always the best at allowing us to do the screening we need. It does allow you to, or the screening test allows you to do that without insurance. And if they would find any abnormalities on the peripheral arterial screen or the carotid screen, then that gives us as providers ammo to come after the insurance company to do the more thorough testing for an intervention if needed before problems occur.
And so a good idea when you call and make your appointment to have these tests done is to talk to them and let them know you want to have the test done and confirm whether this is going to be covered under your insurance. So you're prepared when you go to the clinic if you have to pay for it yourself.
With those screening tests, you do not have to talk with the providers. You can call our radiology department straight away. And it's right up front. It's $30 for the peripheral arterial screen, $30 for the carotid screen. They have another test, the aortic aneurysm scan, and that's also $30. And the aorta is a large artery that's kind of in our abdomen that feeds our legs. And an aneurysm occurs when there's bulging of that vessel. And then if that vessel opens or starts leaking, it can be life-threatening. And they also have that screening as well. So you just call our radiology department and make an appointment with them. And then if there is any abnormalities, it gets pushed to the providers. And so we can jump on it and see what we need to do.
If you don't get around to that right away, also remember that we do have the health screenings that come in every so often. Did you get a time on when?
I did not. The health department is talking end of March, 1st of April.
We'll let everybody know here. Yeah, they always let us know. We'll let everybody know, but you might want to take advantage of that.
Oh, absolutely. That is amazing. It's so great the health department offers that because it's definitely at a reduced cost. It lets patients that, you know, may not have the insurance coverage or that cash on hand to do those all that lab work, and it's great. You get your lipid panel done on that. You can look at your kidney function, your liver function, what your white count is, signs of anemia. Gentlemen can get their PSA with that, which screens for prostate cancer. You can get your thyroid checked. It's amazing that health department offers that for the public.
And if you're one of those people that don't go to the doctor as much as you should, take advantage of this health clinic health fair, because you go, it doesn't take very long at all.
No.
And then you can get your test results, and then you'll know how things stand, and then you could talk to your doctor.
And they send you a copy of it and show you what abnormalities are on it. And then
those things are great.
They'll suggest coming and seeing your provider if there's something that, you know, needs an intervention on.
Now, we were talking about the carotid artery.
Yeah.
Thank you. And so that can lead to other problems, too, and we're going to talk about is strokes.
Yes, yes. So the carotid arteries are a major artery that feeds the brain the oxygen that it needs. And when those carotid arteries start narrowing or getting blocked, then that can lead to stroke. And so I made a list of some things that are quick for the public to remember if they're concerned about themselves having a stroke or, you know,
because there are signs for a stroke that you need to keep an eye on.
Right. And it's called FAST. So FAST. So the first FAST, you say face, is they're drooping. Go smile in a mirror or have that person smile at you. If there's drooping of one side of the face, that can be an indication of stroke. It can be other things which are not life-threatening, but
but then that's still something else. I mean, you need, no matter what, if you see drooping, go to the doctor.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Don't just say, it's not important. Go to the emergency room.
Yes, yes. Because we always say time is brain. If you wait, we're losing brain.
Right, yeah.
The next is A. So it stands for arm weakness. So raise both arms in front of you. And if one arm drifts downward, that can be a sign of weakness to that side. And then also stroke. So the next letter is S, so speech difficulty. If the person could be slurring words, or they know that they're trying to say the word coffee and it's coming out as dog,
right?
Then that's called dysarthria. And so we know that speech difficulty, what I'm having now, can be a sign of stroke. And then the last one is T. Any of those symptoms, it's time to call 911. So if that should happen, note the time when these symptoms occurred. So if it's 10:58 in the morning or whatever it is, because that gives us the timeline on what medications we can use. Because there's usually a 90-minute timeline that they really like for patients to be under to get into. And in a rural area, that makes it difficult. But with the way things are expanding, they're giving us larger time frames to get medications in. But yes, time is brain.
To remember fast. That's a good yes. Hint. And then so if you do suspect that you might be having a stroke, first of all, don't think, oh, what if I'm not? You know, I don't want to go to the doctor.
Better safe than sorry.
Exactly. And the doctors are not going to get mad at you.
No.
They're not going to think badly of you. They're going to think this person knows herself and knows something was wrong, and so she came in and saw us.
Well, and another type of stroke is called TIAs, or transient ischemic attacks, or people call them mini strokes. And that's where a clot develops in the brain, and it's restricting blood flow to that part of the brain, and that's why you're having those symptoms. But then that clot can break up and you'll return to normal. But if you're having TIAs, that lets us know something serious is going on. And so we will want to scan your carotids, check your lipid panel, make sure your blood pressure is well maintained, might get you on a blood thinner to prevent that major stroke from happening. So you may have had those symptoms and they've resolved by the time you came and seen us, but that gives us something to move forward with and to screen and make sure that, you know, we can prevent an impending huge stroke.
Right, because that could be your warning sign.
Yes.
To go and get taken care of. And also, you know, it's just like anything else. You start to have little mini strokes. You need to, it could be the big one.
Yes.
Any time, because you're already susceptible, right? Mm-hmm. You already got the problems. And so go see your doctor.
Absolutely. Some warning signs of stroke, or we talked about numbness or weakness in the face, arms, or legs, confusion, trouble speaking, or for yourself, understanding speech. Trouble seeing in one or both eyes can be a sign of a stroke or a TIA. Trouble walking, dizziness. Some people think dizziness, you know, oh, well, it's because I have an ear infection or something, but that can be a sign of a stroke as well, or problems with your balance. Severe headache. A lot of times people think of a stroke as a blockage of a blood vessel, but there's also called a hemorrhagic stroke. And hemorrhagic stroke is actually bleeding in or around the brain. And that's where a blood vessel has burst, and that's your severe headache, and that's your hemorrhagic stroke.
So if you feel any of those symptoms, you should see your doctor. But if you feel any of those symptoms in conjunction with another symptom, that's a really clear sign that there's something wrong going
on. Yes, and get to the ER. And that doesn't mean I'm shopping in Walmart, I'm going to drive home. It means you hit that area. Because like we said, time is brain.
Yeah. That's time is brain. I love that. And so let's talk about hypertension.
Okay.
And so hypertension is high blood pressure?
Correct.
Okay.
So there's always different suggestions on what the blood pressure should be at, and they do studies on them. And so I went to the American College of Cardiology and the American Heart Association to kind of pinpoint what the United States is really kind of doing with that. And they're saying hypertension is a blood pressure greater than of 130 over 80. And normal would be considered less than 120 over 80. And then they say elevated is 120 to 129, less than 80. And then stage 1 hypertension is the 130 to 139, over 80 to 89. And stage 2 hypertension is greater than 140 over 90.
And what are the consequences of hypertension?
Hypertension is... people don't understand how serious it is. It's like, oh, I only have high blood pressure. No, it affects so many things. And looking through my notes again for us. Some of the big things that it does affect is, of course, your brain. That increases your chances of stroke. Hypertension is pressure on those blood vessels. So you have to think, where are blood vessels? Everywhere in our body. And so it can damage the heart. It causes undue stress on that heart. When that heart is more stressed, then it's going to be forced to pump harder, which can lead to heart failure, which can lead to enlargement of the heart, also can lead to heart attacks. It also can lead to the aneurysms, which occurs in the brain and all over in the body, where that blood vessel gets too much strain, it gets weakened, and then it can open. And that's how you get some of your hemorrhagic strokes. It affects your eyes. That blood pressure is high, it starts damaging the vessels of your eyes, and so you could have loss of vision. It also damages the kidneys, because blood feeds the kidneys and those vessels get worn and damaged, and that's where you're going to end up on dialysis. And with it being Valentine's Day, it also causes erectile dysfunction in men too. So it affects all
another
parts
good
of your
reason.
Body.
Yeah. Well, so I'm picturing in my mind like a hose that you just put water through all the time, and all of a sudden you turn it up really strong and it can't take the pressure.
Correct.
And so that's what I'm picturing in my head, like my blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so you have to be really careful about that.
Absolutely.
It affects so many things, doesn't it?
It does. That's why managing your blood pressure is so very important.
Because if you say, if your blood pressure is high and you say, well, I don't have any chest pains, my heart seems fine. Well, yeah, but your blood vessels may not be. You may
the
be
damage
on the,
is already being done.
The edge of a stroke or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Right. And that's why eye appointments are very important, too, because they can see that in your eye appointments. They can see if there's damage to the vessels of the eyes. And blood work, that lets us check your kidneys to let us know that there's been some chronic kidney disease or something. And a lot of times it's due to unmanaged blood pressure.
Okay, let's talk about exercise.
Okay.
So when I say exercise, I think people, a lot of times in their head picture, I don't want to go to the gym. I don't want to be lifting weights. I don't want to have to be doing jumping jacks. But it's not like that, right? But you need to stay active. That's the biggest exercise.
Absolutely. So the best two exercises for heart health is your aerobic exercise, and then there's resistance training. They're the most important. Aerobic exercise improves the circulation, which lowers your blood pressure, but also lowers your heart rate, and also reduces risks of type 2 diabetes. The recommendation is you should exercise 30 minutes a day at least 5 times a week. So examples of aerobic exercise are brisk walking, running, swimming, cycling. You can play tennis. You can jump rope.
Pickleball.
Pickleball.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
That's a new thing. Yes, for sure. And then they said resistance training, and it can reduce fat. So those that are getting that bigger belly, and also creates leaner muscle mass. The combination of aerobic exercise and resistant work can raise your HDL. So that's your hero cholesterol, your good cholesterol, and it lowers your bad cholesterol, your LDL. Strength training should be done 2 non-consecutive days per week. And examples are free weights. So that's going to be hand weights. You could do your kettlebell, your dumbbells, your barbells, weight machines.
I had an uncle that was in a assisted living home, and his weights were, he had 2 gallon of jugs of milk, but they were water, and he would just sit in his chair and lift them, and his arms, he was 94 years old and he had guns on.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's just from doing that kind of stuff.
Yes, and that's just that resistance training. So it just goes to show that you don't have to go to a gym, that this can be done in your home with milk jugs or resistance bands or other ways, or push-ups, sit-ups, chin-ups, that you don't always have to have all the equipment. You can make some of the equipment at home.
And even if you can't get up, if there's a reason that you're not mobile as you want to be, you can still do things like that to keep your blood going.
Yes, and YouTube is an excellent source.
Oh, yeah.
You can get on YouTube and you can look at, you know, exercises from a seating position. You know, people that are in wheelchairs, they still remain, you know, healthy because they learn to do these exercises from their wheelchairs. Or, you know, you have low mobility due to back pain. You know, there's yoga available. There's other things available, and it's on the internet for us, just right there and free.
Yeah, you got to love YouTube.
Yes.
It's their birthday today.
It is their birthday.
2005.
Well, happy birthday to
them. We talked about that earlier. Okay, so we talked about our health screenings, and so I have a couple questions for you. So people always say, well, nobody in my family's ever had a heart attack, so I should be fine. That's not necessarily true, right?
Correct. Now, family history does play an important part, but also lifestyle can change things. You know, maybe you have a seated job, so you spend a lot of time sedentary. It could be diet. Also, other habits such as smoking, different things can increase your chances, though your family history doesn't have it in it.
Right. So just because, I mean, if you have family history, that's even more important reason to keep up on your screenings.
Absolutely.
And seeing your doctor. But if you don't have family history, don't think that you're out of the woods, because anybody could have problems.
Correct.
And then I wanted to know signs of heart attack. So I didn't know if there was if this is true or a myth. Men and women seem to have different symptoms of heart attacks.
Yes, they do.
That is true. Uh-huh.
Yes. With men, it can be with both sexes. But oftentimes you hear like, oh, an elephant is sitting in my chest. I have sweating, trouble breathing, pain in the chest, radiates to the neck or down the arm. Those are what you normally hear. But in women, it could be indigestion. It could be indigestion in
their jaws
as well.
Too. Women feel a lot in their jaw.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, if you have a blood pressure cuff at home, you can check your blood pressure. Blood pressure is often very elevated during a heart attack, because you think about the mechanism of it, is that if there is a clot blocking a vessel that's trying to feed the heart, The body wants blood to the heart, so that blood pressure will elevate.
So it's working harder.
Push that clot. And so you get that elevated blood pressure with it as well.
So there are a few different symptoms. So the reason I ask that is because there are different symptoms, and not everybody experiences all the same symptoms of a heart attack. I mean, so if your arm doesn't hurt, you say, oh, it's not a heart attack. But that's not true.
Correct.
And so it's good to know that there are a lot of different symptoms for heart attacks. Just because your arm doesn't hurt, or just because you don't feel like someone's sitting on your chest, but you still have pains, but it's not that particular pain, that does not mean you're not having problems.
Rarely do you have all of the symptoms.
Right.
You do not have the classic symptoms. I mean, they teach you that in school, but that's not how the patient's going to walk through the door. And it could be just a little bit of chest pain. It could be just some shortness of breath that just kind of came on, the jaw aches a little bit, stomach hurts or through to the back, some indigestion.
The combination of everything together is what you need to really be worried mm-hmm. about.
Yes.
Yeah. That's good to know because, you know, I've heard people say that, you know, well, I had a chest pain, but it didn't feel like an elephant was sitting in my chest, so I was okay. Well, maybe you need to go to the doctor.
Correct. Maybe you were not okay.
Because who knows our bodies better than we?
Correct.
We know ourselves better than anything. If something doesn't seem right, you know, you hear that if you see something, say something.
Yes.
If you feel something, call your doctor.
Right. And those are important to let us know. I mean, you may not, I've been having some chest pain, but it's probably nothing. Well, you go to the doctor. We have stress tests that we can do to stress the heart to see if it's, you know, not getting enough blood flow when it's being stressed. EKGs just let us know what the heart rhythm is doing. If there's silent heart attacks where, last week I was having this chest pain, didn't think anything of it. Well, we have it proven right there that you were most likely having a heart attack at that time.
Right. If you're somebody who always likes to be right, go to the doctor and let him prove you're right.
Correct.
That wasn't anything bad. So, you know. But doctor's visits. Stay up to date with your doctor's visits. That's one, I would think that was one of the most important aspects of taking care of your heart.
Yes, let us monitor. Let us watch that blood pressure. Let us watch, you know, your blood work, your cholesterol, how your kidneys are functioning. You know, the more you know us as providers and the more we know you as patients, we can say, okay, this isn't like Natalie. This is something different. This is something wrong. Or that cholesterol is just a little bit elevated. We already know she's doing this and this. We may need to initiate a medication. And knowing the background of it, then you're like, okay, no, she has this, this, and this. This could really be a heart attack, as opposed to never getting checkups, never knowing, then you're kind of left as a blank slate. And we try to figure it all out.
And having your doctor know you and your condition every day is very important, too.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens, like you said, they could say, well, Natalie's never done that before. We better go see what's going on. Or
right.
Yeah. And doctors are people. Go in and talk to your doctor. Ask them questions. Don't be intimidated. Don't be afraid. They're just people.
Yeah,
really smart people that help take care of us, but they're just people.
But yeah, we want you to have open conversations with us. Tell us everything. Let us know. We can document it. We can find it. And, you know, if we're not working the emergency room, they have access to our charts that we can go through and look. And, you know, that's why we're here. We want to serve the community. We want to create a healthy community. And we want to prevent the hypertension, the heart attacks, the strokes by providing good care up front.
Awesome. Kristen, I appreciate you coming in and talking to us. I think we've got some great information out there this morning. I've learned a lot. So if I can learn a lot, I think everybody else learned a whole lot. So I really appreciate you coming in. I'm very glad to finally got to meet you.
Nice to meet
you. And hopefully you'll come in again and talk to us about other things
it
that are going on.
It wasn't as scary as I thought.
I told you. I told you. So I try not to be too scary. Sometimes, you know, but I try not to. One more thing, sleep. Sleep's very important for your health, right? People say, well, I only need 4 hours a night. Well, maybe you can get by on hours a night.
By.
Right. But sleep is very important, especially for your heart health.
Yes, 7 to 9 hours is what is best. This is when the body rejuvenates. This is when it tries to build itself, to heal itself. And it also reduces your stress level. Stress can lead to hypertension. And then hypertension leads to all those other issues. So letting that body rest, letting your mind rest, let the body repair itself. And so, yes, sleep is important. So you're not being lazy.
Exactly.
You're
That's why I wanted to bring that up. Take a nap if you feel like it. Like I said, you know your body better than anybody. And if your body is sleepy, take a nap.
Right. That laundry can sit because we still need you here.
And it's going to, that laundry's always going to be around, believe
me.
Yes. So don't think that you have to do it now because there's going to be more all the time.
Always.
So, Kristen, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having
me.
It's
been a pleasure. And thank you for all this great information. Again, get those blood screenings and we'll they always let us know, the clinic does, when they do the mobile blood screening, and we will let everybody know. Take advantage of that. It's very important.
Yes, absolutely. Please do that for your health.
All right. All right. Well, I thank everybody for watching this morning and for listening on KQ&K AM and FM. I really do. And I hope that you guys got some good information from Kristen, and that you listen to her and that you take her up on her advice. In the meantime, we're done for today. We're going to sign off. But don't forget about us tomorrow for Party Line. Same time, same place.